Thank you, God, for your word today. Make it alive, change our lives, encourage us, give us hope. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In chapter 13, when we started it, in verses 1-3, we read, 1-4, we read, you know, as they went out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are there, are here?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" So he says, wow, we can't believe this temple, these buildings will be torn down. And they were. We studied that in 70 AD under Titus and the Romans. It was taken down, every stone, taken apart to get the gold out of the temple there. And they asked, when will the sign of that be? And when all things will be fulfilled. And if you look at Matthew 24, if you turn back to Matthew 24, which is the same account, we read there in Matthew 24, verse 3, here's the questions they really asked him. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" So they asked him three things. When will this temple be destroyed? And we covered that previously in 70 AD. That's when it happened. Jesus prophesied and it happened. And then the second question was, we see here, what will be the sign of your coming again? Hey, when are you going to come again? What's going to be that sign when you return to this earth? And the third question was, what's the sign for the end of the age? When is the end of this age? And that word means era, or the current age, this period that we now live in. What's going to be the end? There is an end to this and an end of the world described in the Bible. And they wanted to know. I'm sure if we had Jesus around, we'd want to know too. Hey, Jesus. Oh, we'd have a million questions asking him. So we get back to Mark 13. And previously we covered 1 and 2. The temple destroyed and Jesus coming back again. We've covered that in our text in Mark 13. And we covered part of the third part. What will be the end of this age? When we ended with verse 26. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels, gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. He's going to come back and regather Israel to be his people again, to worship him in Jerusalem. Now, today we cover the rest of part 3. Now, what's interesting is that on Wednesday night, we sort of aligned with what we're studying on Sunday morning. And on Wednesday night, we're going to be studying Revelation 19, Jesus coming back and beginning this new age. So it kind of aligns with what we're doing on Sunday morning. Join us Wednesday night because Jesus is coming back Wednesday night. Revelation chapter 19. You better be here. See, we're going to study that. And guess what? We're coming back with him. Won't that be nice? Remember, we believers, when we read these things of the tribulation and current things concerning Israel here, we believers won't be on this earth. We're going to be with the Lord. And then when he comes back, we're going to come back with him. We're going to be raptured prior to all those things we've studied, because the wrath is not appointed to us, but salvation through Jesus Christ. We will be with the Lord. And I love it in 1 Thessalonians 4 where it talks about the rapture, because it ends by saying, and we will forever be with the Lord. You want to know where I am? I'm going to be with the Lord if you want to look me up in heaven. We'll all be there with the Lord before the great tribulation period. Now, we also went over things we may now experience. We covered that last week, things we might experience which are called labor pains. As Jesus said earlier in Mark 13, the beginning of sorrows. That's where we're at. We're in the beginning of sorrows. And it also says in Thessalonians, it's like a woman that's going through labor pains. They get more intense, but when you start having labor pains, you know the end is near. It's sorrow, but then joy. We're in that time of experiencing these labor pains, and they're getting more intense. But we know, and that's why we should be comforted in seeing the things happening, because we can get very discouraged as we look around at the world, and get down and depressed and let it overwhelm us. Don't do that. It means he's nearer. It's close. We're in those labor pains. It's like you women that have delivered babies, you know, you want to go through those labor pains because you know then it's all over and you have the joy of looking at that little child. The little fingers, the little toes, the quivering lip, all those things. And you forget, well, I'm not a woman, I don't know, but my wife tells me, you forget all that you went through, right, honey? Okay, you forget. You must forget because at one point she says, let's have another child. So you must forget. And you think of the joy. So these are the beginning of sorrows. We're going through this tribulation. But then Jesus tells them, he's now going to answer this last question. When's the end of the age? Now they asked, remember, they asked not what, when is the end of the age? What are the signs of these things each period? So he gives them an example in verse 28. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So there's a sign. The fig tree is a symbol, a type of Israel nationally. We see that in Jeremiah 24, Joel 1, verse 7. They're a type of a fig tree. It's a type of Israel. So he's telling them, when you see the branch has become tender and puts forth leaves. Now here's a word, you know, I don't know how many times I've read these chapters. Does this happen to you where you go through the Bible, but every time you learn something new of something you've read 100 times, you know which word I caught? Leaves. It doesn't say fruit. When you see the fruit, it says when you see the leaves. And that's important. When the branch has become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Why? Because there's leaves first. The fruit's later on. But leaves, there is life in the tree. What does it show you? There's life in the tree. The leaves show you there's life in the tree, and it's going to produce fruit. Summertime, the producing time is near. Well, Israel in 1948 became a sovereign nation again. The branch is tender and it's budding. We see that. We know for sure the rapture is near. We'll be out of here because we see that. But there will not be any good fruit on the tree until summer. So we're also in that period of Israel bearing leaves, budding. Not bearing fruit, but budding. So we can't say it's here yet, but we're in that period of where it's near. Because they're in the land, they're budding, they're bearing leaves, but not until the nation is in the millennium where Jesus is ruling and reigning and they are again worshiping him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lords, will they bear fruit? They won't be bearing fruit until the millennium. Because we read in the book of Revelation, there's only going to be 144,000 that God chooses to evangelize, 12,000 from each tribe. And not many will believe, but there will be saints in the tribulation period. But the whole nation as a whole, not until they're gathered back to Israel, will they be bearing fruit again, righteous fruit for the Lord. So now they're just leaves coming forth. And then the old age will be passed away and the new age will begin when Jesus starts to rule and reign. And so Jesus says in verse 29, when you see these things happening, what? Know that it is near at the door. When you see these things happening, we've gone over them all, you know it's near at the door. Even when this is happening to Israel, it's near, it's at the door, his return to earth, when you see these things happening. And I'm glad it's near. You know, he's going to warn them now. Today we have satellites, weather satellites, great weather reports, and people are warned when something's coming. Now, I don't know if you noticed that, but before those hurricanes or storms hit, it's beautiful and calm. And some people don't believe it, and they get wiped out. We have warnings, and they're for sure, but the people don't believe it. And that happens with a lot of things. People don't believe warnings. Jesus said, these are the signs. Be ready. It's coming, and it's going to happen. But you know, people say, well, my dad said that, my granddad said that. Things are the same. They're never going to change. We're just going to go on living as we are. Life's going to get good again. We're going to be fine. No. It's coming. The rapture, the tribulation period, second coming of Jesus Christ. It is coming. It is going to happen. We can get so caught up with our everyday life that we can become dull to spiritual things. And we think it's just going to continue on and on and on. The good news is, you might not have to go to work tomorrow because you might be in the rapture. It can happen at any time. Isn't that wonderful? And there are those who say, no, not yet. I've got a vacation planned. It'll never be like the vacation in heaven. Great there. No matter what you've got planned, this is better. Now, he tells us here in verse 30 that I say that this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. People will get confused at this. This generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. What generation? What generation was Jesus talking about? Well, it wasn't the generation he was speaking to at the time. We know that. Time has proved that. It didn't happen then. It didn't happen in 1948 when they became a nation again. Israel became a nation again. We know that because that has passed. What generation won't pass till all these things are completed? The generation that will experience all these things that he's been talking about in Mark 13. That saw these signs, that saw them come to pass, that saw the great tribulation period, and they're in the midst of the tribulation period and seeing these things happening. That's the generation he's speaking to, because he tells us here, this generation will by no means pass till all these things take place. So it'll be the generation living when all these signs are completed. We're at the beginning of sorrows. And in the meantime, we're dying and going to be with the Lord, and then there'll be the rapture. But there's going to be this generation that will meet this criteria. They'll be living while these things are being fulfilled, and they'll see the great tribulation period. That's the generation he's talking to. It's not like God made a mistake. Oh, this scripture's wrong here. No, he didn't make a mistake. This is truth. It's going to be the generation that's living then. Now, I was thinking about that this week. We won't be part of that generation living here because they're going through the great tribulation period. But we could be living in that generation because the people out there that are unbelievers could be the ones that are going to be left. You see, so it could be in our generation, even though we won't be that generation living on earth at the time. But if Jesus comes next week and raptures the church and things start happening, well, we were part of that generation, but we won't be here. So that's exciting. It doesn't mean we have to wait another generation. because we're going to be taken out. And then there's only 7 years left here. So we could be part of that. A good chance we're going to be part of that. Isn't that exciting? All the technology and everything required to make those prophecies come to pass that are in Revelation exists today. Even taking the mark of the beast. We were just talking about that this week. Man, you know, there's all kinds of new things coming on the market where, not, you know, it's going to be pretty soon you have to have an app for everything, maybe even to buy and sell. And because my wife was telling me that's the way you got to do the fast pass at Disneyland now. You're going to have the app and show that. So you get rid of tickets and everything. And so everything is happening that way. Well, the next thing better than an app, because you can cheat on that app or let someone else use it. The next best thing is have the mark directly on you so that there doesn't need to be face or eye recognition or anything. It has to be you. We see that close, ready to happen. It's all in place. So we could be this generation that will be taken and those that are left behind. See, God's word is true, and we know it's very near. I know this, we're 2,000 years closer today. Now, does that bring you joy or sorrow? It brings me joy. Sorrow for those left here. But that should instigate me to share the gospel. Because we love people that are lost. And it is near. And that's the point Jesus is trying to make. This gospel, this chapter was written for us living today, not only these people living then. We need to be excited about the Lord returning, and that should prompt us to share the gospel and for sure to live it out, to be a light in the darkness. As we have been studying on Wednesday nights, the world is ready for the Antichrist, one world leader that's going to bring peace, allow Israel to rebuild the temple. Isn't the world ready for that? Hey, let's just live in harmony. Let's just have one world religious system, one commercial system, be arm in arm, sing kumbaya. Isn't that lovely? We're all one. We all believe the same thing. It's all lies from hell. You see, there's only one way, Jesus, and that's why we share. In verse 31, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Our heaven, here it refers to the heaven we see. Our heaven, our atmosphere, our stellar system, our earth will pass away. Things as we see them and know them will end. But what won't end? Jesus said, "My words." My words are never going to end. My word is true. I love you so much that if you live and believe in me and accept me as your personal Savior, you will be saved and you will go to heaven. That's for sure. All his words are true. Jesus is hope. There's a lot of people out there today without hope. And you read these kind of scriptures and they say, well, that's gloom and doom. Well, if you're not saved, it is. But if you're a born-again Christian, that's great. That's victory. I'm going to leave this place and be in a better place. For an unbeliever, this is the closest they'll ever get to heaven. For a believer, it's the closest we'll ever get to hell. Isn't that wonderful? This is it. So we go through the tribulation and we share and we encourage people to turn to Jesus. His words will not pass away. These things will happen. Remember, and the question in Matthew 24:4, what is going to be the sign when it's the end of the age? Well, he goes on to tell them in verse 32. They were probably expecting, November 2nd, 2019. Probably expecting a date. When you ask someone something, you know, you want a date. You know, when you want to get together? Soon. That doesn't do much for me. Then you're always waiting for that phone call or that text. They ask, well, when is it going to be? When is it going to happen? So he tells them in verse 32, But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. No one knows the day or the hour. The time period, we have signs. We know it's close. So we can tell the season of when it will happen. But you can't pin down the day and the hour. In other words, you can't mark your calendar. Here it is. Here's the end. I was hoping I didn't have to buy a 2020 calendar, but it's coming in 2020, so I guess I'll have to buy the calendar. Do you buy calendars anymore? I don't know, in this technical age. You just use your phones? You know, sometimes I'm speaking, I'm wondering, do you get it? You know, I'm still with a calendar, Post-its, lots of Post-its, typewriter. No, not a typewriter. I'm beyond that. I'm on the internet, but sometimes we're a little different. So the day and the hour, no one knows when the time is. You notice it says here, not even the Son. And there's where some cults and people, this is one of the scriptures they use to tell you that Jesus is not God. Well, you know, he said in John, I and the Father are one. And there's many scriptures concerning the Trinity. What does that mean then? No one knows, and he's telling his disciples, I can't share it with you because no one knows the day or the hour. No one, not even the Son, but only the Father. When Jesus came to this earth, you see, when he came to this earth, he, through his own free will, he came in the form of man and assumed mankind. He was the God-man, the Son of God. He lived as we lived. He felt as we feel. He didn't use his godly powers to avoid temptation or pain or suffering. He chose to come in the form of man. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews, he was always like us except without sin. So he chose to live as a human being, not knowing these things or applying these things until he would ascend back to be with the Father and assume his role as God. So he restricted himself. He lived and walked as man and not as God on this earth. So he's telling them, I'm man, I don't know. And this is a lesson to you too, disciples. We don't know. And he just let himself assume that. But now that he's ascended back to heaven, he's in his rightful place, part of the Trinity. But the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father knows. So what's his instruction to them? Now that he's shared everything with them. Here's the instruction. Three parts to it. Take heed, number one. Second thing, watch. Third thing, pray. Take heed, watch, pray, for you do not know when the time is. Seeing you don't know, you need to take heed, you need to watch, and you need to pray. And we sang that in one of our songs today, watch and pray. That's what he told them to do. That's the lesson to us. Take heed. What does that word mean? To look at. To behold, to beware, to regard. It means, hey, look at what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying and behold it. Take it in and live by it. You know, regard it and beware. You can't forget this. You have to have it planted in your heart and in your mind. Take heed. Take these scriptures in and regard them, take note of them, and don't forget them. Form your life around these words that I've shared with you. That's what he's saying. Listen and believe it and live by it, by these words. So that's the first thing, take it. So we need to read this today and all we've been reading in the past and really stay with this and believe it. We don't want to get caught up in the world, forget these things, and think, well, it's business as usual. Gotta do this, gotta do that. It could be today that he takes us home. When you do that, you live differently. You live with hope. And we need to live with hope. And our hope is in the Lord. When I look at myself, yes, I'm human. I look at myself at times. I get feeling sorry for myself at times. And you know what happens? I just totally blow it. And I get discouraged. If you look in, you will get discouraged. I've said this to myself a lot. The minute I feel sorry for myself, I'm done for the day. I'm done for the day. Once I let pity take over. Because then it's me. Me, me. Oh, poor me. We take heed and our hope is in the Lord. And we know, hey, this is all true. Wow, I am so blessed to be a Christian. I'm going to heaven. And I get a chance to share life-giving words with people. What a privilege that God would use me, use you, bring you into his family. What a privilege. You know, 1,000 years from now, even though there's no time in heaven, we're going to be enjoying it. It's going to be great. Just wonderful. Do you remember when you were 19? Probably can't remember that, right? Same thing's going to happen. You're not going to remember this. But when you were 19, it was the world, wasn't it? Oh, man, this is life. All right. Got forever ahead of me. It's funny how when you're young, you think you're never going to die. Guess what? The death rate is still 100%. You see, so take heed to these words. The second thing he tells them in verse 33 is watch. Watch. The Greek word literally means, listen to this. The Greek word literally means to be sleepless. Oh! To be sleepless. To be kept awake. Of course, this is speaking in the spiritual realm. To be spiritually awake at all times. Don't fill your head with the cares of this world. Fill your mind with the Lord and the blessings of God. Count your blessings. But I don't really have much in life. Then count the one blessing, salvation. You see, be spiritually awake. Watch. That's what it means to be sleepless. Don't let the devil come in and control your mind. Don't let him control you. Don't let people control you. Don't let circumstances control you. Who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. There's only one way you can lose that freedom. I can lose that freedom by getting into myself. I can do that. But I'm free. It's like being set free from prison and saying, I want to go back. It was so nice in there, sleeping on the floor, rats running around and bread and water for the day. That was so neat. No, it wasn't. The world is not good to us. Don't let the devil come in and deceive you. Be alert. Watch. 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 You know, we hear the word watch. We see that a lot in Scripture. But in our English language, it can be so lame, can it? It's used for so much. Hey, watch this video. Watch out. Watch me do a cartwheel. Boy, that's something. Watch me do a cartwheel. You know, and we use watch for all kinds of things. This means to be aware, to be sleepless, to be focused, watching for the Lord. Be vigilant. Have spiritual alertness. Be awake at all times. Don't get dull. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's doing a good job today. He walks about like a roaring lion. You have that picture in your mind? He's just walking around, wants to devour and destroy people. We can't go for it. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16, please. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Isn't that a good exhortation? Hey, soldier, watch. Stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Be strong for the Lord. That's the way we do it. Stand fast, be brave, be strong for the Lord. You know, and we Christians should be watchmen. Not only watch, but be watchmen, warning others of danger. In Ezekiel 3, in verses 16 to 21, God says, you're a watchman, and you need to warn people about judgment coming. And if you don't warn them, and they perish, it's your fault. If you warn them, and they don't listen, it's their own fault. Read it, Ezekiel 3. It's a great analogy that the watchman is to warn people. Now, if we warn them, they don't listen. We say, well, they don't listen. That's their fault. But if we don't warn them and they perish, that's our fault. You get the point? We watch and we share with people. And the third thing he told them to do in verse 33 is then pray. Because you don't know when the time is coming. You don't know when this is all going to happen or when I'm coming back. So you need to take heed, watch, and pray. Now, I think we all know what prayer is. We should be in prayer continually. I don't know that we fully understand the power of prayer. This is the vehicle God gave us to communicate with Him. Prayer. At any time, the creator of the universe, the one that's all powerful, whatever is going on in your life today, God can take care of it because nothing is impossible with God. But we must ask to receive. That's the rule, the spiritual rule. We must ask like a child asks a parent, and then they receive. And so that's prayer. You know, in Matthew 26, remember Jesus in the garden? He says, watch and pray because the flesh is willing. The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You need to watch, be aware, and pray. Prayer keeps our mind on God. Now, when the Bible says, pray always, it doesn't mean that I can't talk to you this morning because I'm praying. Wait up, I'm praying. You know, there we go on with our life, but in every decision and everything we face, God is in it. I can be driving along and say, God, give me a parking space. You know, we've always done that. I've always done that. We still do that. And it's amazing. It happened a couple times this week. I don't know how many people pray for parking spaces. We'll go to mall or somewhere and say, God, just give us a good parking place. Go up there, and there it is right there. Praise the Lord. Now, you say, that's kind of trivial, is it? No. What we do is we acknowledge God is in charge of everything. That's the mindset we have to have as Christians. I've got a dad who has all power, unlimited resource, and he loves me, and he wants to take care of me. So why not ask? You think pride gets in the way sometime? Hey, this is a no-brainer. Oh, that's nothing to pray about. Oh, this is a little thing. That's Satan getting in your mind. We pray about everything, and it doesn't have to be long, can be short. We just pray. We just, God help me. That can be a prayer when you're in a tough situation. God help me. God give me wisdom. That's prayer. People think prayer is this eloquent speech that goes on very long. Oh, you really pray well. I can't pray when you're around because you pray so well, and I can't pray like that. You can pray. God, help me. Anyone can pray. God doesn't say, wait a minute, that wasn't eloquent enough. Give this another try. Pray again. No. He responds to your heart, to your prayer. Doesn't have to be out loud. It can be within yourself. But what we do is we keep the communication line open. Prayer keeps us watching and vigilant. So we talk with God. And we develop this closeness with God. Most marriage counselors medical professionals, when there's problems with a person, will encourage a couple to communicate. Do you agree? That's one of the first things they will tell you. Communicate. You must communicate. You must talk. You must become intimate in your conversations. You need to let people know what's going on inside of you. Communication is necessary. You don't withhold anything. You learn to trust one another and be open with one another. That's, in the spiritual realm, called prayer. Talking to God, your Father in heaven. It's the same thing. You must communicate. I must communicate with my dad in heaven so that I can bring my petitions, intercede. He can respond and take care of me. It's really that simple. Isn't that wonderful? That I have a Father in heaven that just... And when Jesus said, ask and you will receive, the real tense of that verb is, please ask. Isn't that incredible? God would be saying to me, please ask me. That's what he wants. So don't become this, have this martyr syndrome. Oh, I don't want to bother God. He's busy with other things. No, he loves you personally, and he wants to answer you. Just talk to him. And then Jesus gives them an example. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house, gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. So this man, he gives him this example of a man going to a faraway country, and he gives everyone their work to do while he's gone. You know, and tells them exactly what he wants done. And he tells the doorkeeper or the gatekeeper, hey, watch for me so that when I come back, you're ready to open up the gate for me. No electronics then. You got to be there to open up the gate, or I don't get in. So watch for me. It could be at night or whatever. So he gives everybody their chores. Here's what I want done. And I want you, the watchman, to stay awake and be watching for me. And then 36, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. But watchman, I'm not telling you when I'm coming back. Could be at midnight. Could be in the morning, could be at night, and the watchman's probably thinking, ooh, when am I going to sleep? Why don't you tell me when you're coming back? You get the point? So that you stay awake and you're looking for me all day long, every day. That's the example. Verse 36, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. You need to stay awake and watch because don't leave your post. Stay there and be ready, because what if you're sleeping when I come back? I'm not going to get in. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So he gives him this example. You get the idea? We watch. We take heed. We pray, because we don't know the day or the hour. We know we're close. We know the signs. But we want to be ready. And when we're ready and watching, our mind and our heart are on the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. Lord, thank you for your word today. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. We thank you that you don't sleep. You know and you see all things all the time. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would stir our hearts up, that we would leave here excited about our faith, and we would take heed, be watching and praying, and take advantage of those opportunities you give to us. Lord, it's so wonderful to be a Christian, to have hope. And I pray for anyone that may not have that walk with you that they really should or desire. Please speak to them today through these scriptures and draw them to your heart. And I pray if they really don't know Jesus that they would ask someone this morning and they would pray and ask Jesus into their life. But for any of us, Lord, that have gotten dull or sleepy, forgive us. Forgive any doubt. Forgive us for looking at people or the things in the world. instead of you, and just creating us a clean heart and renewing us a right spirit, O Lord. That's where we want to be, walking with you, mind on you, and just being blessed as we walk through this life. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.